Wow. All right. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. John 16 and 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say unto you that whatsoever you ask the Father, he will give it you. But we can't ask amiss. We have to ask according to the will of God. See, sometimes we're stubborn. And we want it our way instead of God's way. And then, of course, we want God to bless our effort. And God lets us do. I remember soon after I got into Mexico and being ministering and people got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I thought if I didn't preach, the will of God wasn't done. One time I was about ready to get up to preach. And my mind went blank. I said, God, you can't do this to me. He said, you think you can do it? Go ahead. I repented quickly. Quickly. And I said, God, forgive me for my pride, my arrogance. Forgive me, God. I'm not the only preacher. And I don't even think so anymore. I'm one of them that you called and put your hand of anointing upon. And I give you all the credit and all the honor and all the glory. Whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Philippians 4:13. I can do just several things through Christ who strengthens me. But we don't believe it. We don't. We don't act that way, do we? When you really think about it, we're getting to some more meat here, folks. It's about to get good. Hallelujah. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:17. Here it is. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, not as he was. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, you and I have the ability to do everything Jesus ever did. And Jesus prophesied and said, these works shall you do, and even greater works than these shall you do. Where are we standing? What are we doing with what God gave us and what God was expecting of us? If this doesn't challenge you, I'm here to tell you, you're dead. Wow. John 20:21. So Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so sent I you. And he said, I have to go. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. But he said, I go, and I will send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whichever you want to use. And he shall guide you into all truth. All truth. But so many of us have learned to do things professionally instead of in humility. Oh my. Ha. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. You are commissioned. If you are born again, you are commissioned. Actually, you are commanded. Commanded. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So the signs that follow you show God how much you believe. And I find myself so short. I'm ashamed of myself. Ephesians 3:17-21. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, which is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's not up here, folks. This is where we have knowledge. It's in the heart. Hallelujah. Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with some of the fullness of God. I said, we don't really believe that, do we? Are we healing the sick? Are we raising up? This talks to all believers, not preachers. Every believer is commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, freely you've received, freely you've given. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him. We know it's Him. It's not us. But we have to let Him do it. And we have to have faith to allow Him to move through us. We have to have the faith. Can you imagine what people thought when Melvin High took a wife and 9 children to the mission field with no support, $5 in their pocket and tank full of gasoline, with a promise of $100 in Washington, Pennsylvania that we didn't get. And took them to the mission field. And God always provided. This man, Brother Luke Weaver, when we were, I believe we were at the church the last Sunday before we left, and you said, be sure and stop in Berlin, Ohio, because there's a group of Amish that got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Be sure and stop in there. I had no intentions to stop in here, in there. I am shy. I'm still shy. What you see is the Holy Spirit, not Melvin High, standing in front of you and talking. That shyness hasn't left me. And timidness and feeling I'm the least. And I thank God for that. So I can give Him the credit. But we had no intentions of going there. We did not know those people. And we can't go there. We don't know anybody there, so we just won't stop in. So a disappointment happened to change our course. The evangelist in Effort of Pennsylvania in the tent meeting across the road from where Chevrolet Youth Garage used to be said that when you're on your way, there's $100 in the church waiting for you. When we got there, I said, sorry, Brother High, but we just had a mission at through on Thursday, and we emptied the treasure. God bless you. He didn't know we had 9 children. He thought we had 1 when he prophesied. And he felt that we probably went on his prophecy. He went and got us something to eat and came back and said, God bless you, and left. After a while, he comes back and he opens his wallet and says, Brother High, this is all I've got. I'm giving you everything I've got. And had a $50 bill. And I said, being raised Mennonite, we're taught to be honest, fair. If you make a promise, you fulfill it. If you have to borrow or beg, how can a man lie? But needless to say, we had to go to Berlin, Ohio. Disappointments sometimes are appointments of God. And we went there, and God kept us there for 3 days. And to cut it short, the last next to last day that we were there, we were invited out to a brunch that said, get a good meal before you get on the road, then you'll be fine. And something happened. Time somehow disappeared. We got to talking, and after I looked, 2 o'clock. And it was either 9:30 or 10 o'clock we had brunch, breakfast, lunch. And I said, how can this be? They said, the lady said, why don't you stay one more night? They said, they just finished the church, or the wing of the church this morning. The auditorium wasn't even started to be built. And she said, the plaster's just finished this morning. And some of us ladies will go, and then we'll clean it up, and the other ladies will get on the phone and invite everybody. They filled that wing that night. And before I was, I almost missed something. While they were worshiping, the lady that was playing the piano fell out on the floor. This was strange for these Mennonite mentality people. This is almost more than we could handle. But the piano kept on playing, and that was worse yet. And she got back up and took over. There was not a miss in the music. And just before I was finished speaking that night, a lady comes in with 30-some children with a gallon jug in her arm. She said, these children have been praying for a missionary to come through, and they would like to give this to you. And with the offering we received that night and that half jug full of money, we left there with $332 and some cents. Instead of $100. Where did it happen?
How much was the price of gas and
beer? Oh, we got 4 and 5 gallons per dollar then. And several times we bought 10 hamburgers per dollar, so with about $3 we could feed the whole family. That wasn't everywhere you went, but, yeah. So, we usually found those places, you know. Hallelujah. And so God can do anything. It doesn't make any difference. Going to the next point, I believe I'm at the dream. Yes. I had a dream just before we left home. And I was standing in our kitchen. There was nobody cooking. Actually, the walls were open on this side, and there was 2 entrances. Our regular door was there, but they weren't coming in the door. They were just coming through the wall. And as fast as I could reach to my side, my hand had a plate full of food. And as fast as people could walk past, I was doing this. And I was doing this, and finally some police officers walked in. They said, you know, it's against the law for you to do this. We could arrest you, or we're going to confiscate everything you've got. And God said, don't worry. It's invisible to them. And I thought, I said, tell them they can have what they can find. And they searched our home. They searched our food pantry. They found absolutely nothing. Actually, the food pantry was empty completely. Everything, we had not a drop of food in the house. And finally, they left and were the last foot went over the threshold of our front door. My hands were full of a plate of food again, and people started walking again as fast as I could do this. And then some thieves come in with machine guns. And they said, they laughed. They said, we caught you this time. We're taking everything you got. God said, don't worry. It's invisible. And they were searched everywhere, and they found nothing. They got angry, and they stomped out of the place. And when their last foot went over the threshold of the door, I had a plate full of food in my hand again, handing food. My wife said, "Where's your wallet?" I said, "It's in my pocket." She said, "You better hide it." I said, "No, that's invisible too," and I woke up. I think God is letting us know it don't make any difference what happens. I know according to teaching back some years back, Jesus was supposed to come back before now. I don't know when he's coming back. I have no idea. He's going to do it his way. Not the way we think. The Jews were wrong about the Messiah, weren't they? And could it be that we might be wrong with some of our opinions? And to me, the scripture says immediately after the tribulation, such as never was, nor ever shall be, the days will be shortened for the elect's sake, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, then shall appear. Now, if the mark of the beast comes on the scene, or what happens, you can't buy, you can't sell, God says, "I will take care of you." Hallelujah. Don't make any difference. If you follow Jesus and do what Jesus tells you to do, amen, there is absolutely no way that God will not provide for his own. How could he feed about 6 million people in the desert? They figure it was around 6 million people with the 5,000 men. Somebody said 6 million. I don't know. That's what I heard. I didn't figure it out. And to me, it might have been 400,000 or 500,000, but even if it was 20, or even if it was 5, or even if there was 1, they never planted a seed. It didn't need to make any clothing. That makes me wonder where the baby's born with clothes on. They never wore out. 40 years. I don't have shoes that last 40 years. No. Walking in the desert. All right. Or last. How many ever read the book on the revival in Azusa Street? Yes, we got several of you in here. How many ever heard about the revival of the Azusa Street revival? Yes. Somebody gave me the book just 2 weeks before I left home, and it grabbed me because something is about to happen. Something is on the horizon, folks. God has waited extra time because from the year 1906 to 1910, 4 years, the Shekinah glory came down into that place. The two men that founded the Assemblies of God Church were in that revival. One of them was Warden. I don't remember the other man's name. They were 13 and 14 years of age. And they said that they prayed for sick people every night, and everybody got healed. It was most of the young people that did the work. So if you have young people, they are willing and they're ready more so than we are. When we think we're getting too old, wow. So, and William Seymour, the man that God used, a black man, was the leader. When he would come into the services, he would sit on a chair and put a box over his head until God told him to take it off. They practiced 2 Chronicles 7:14 that brought the revival, on which says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall, number one, humble themselves, number two, Pray. Number three, seek my face. Hallelujah. And number four, turn from their wicked ways. We have no wicked ways, do we? Or are we doing everything that Jesus did to him that not to do good is? Not to do it and do it that not to him, it is sin? Are you listening to me, folks? If you're not doing, hallelujah, what the Scripture tells you to do, then according to the Word of God, it's sin. Help us, God. Help us, God. Hallelujah. And when William Seymour took the box off of his head, the Shekinah kind of glory would come in, and sometimes I believe it said to the ankle, sometimes to the knee, and whoever stepped into that cloud was delivered, healed, his demon was the demons cast, went out, and whatever they came for, that's what happened. The God met them with miracles of every kind. Now, in 1910, I'm taking it short, in 1910, William Seymour prophesied that approximately 100 years from 1910, the glory will return to the body of Christ. And we're 9 years past the 100 years. So it's late. It's high time. But God is looking for a Second Chronicle church. Hallelujah. God is looking for that Second Chronicle church. You forget about what other people say, what other people think, or what other people do. What are you doing? Think about what you're doing, not about what other people are doing. We're so concerned about other people. So we're 9 years past the 100. I know that in Pensacola, Florida, they had an outpouring. And I know that in Toronto, Canada, there was an outpouring, but I think God has something more in store than that. I believe God wants to fill the church, the people of the body of Christ, fill the body of Christ so full of the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost that when you walk out, hallelujah, on a sidewalk somewhere and somebody comes walking by you, they fall on their knees and cry out to God and beg you to pray for them. Recently, I made a commitment some years back. Wherever I go, I'll do my best to always at least witness to no less than one person. I like to do it at Walmart. But this time I was at Lowe's Hardware. And I needed help to put some timbers on the cart. And they sent a young man over. And I looked at the young man. I said, young man, are you a follower of Jesus? He said, no, but I would like to be. And it floored me for a minute. I said, when? He said, now. And it floored me more. I said, do you want to give your heart to Jesus now? I said, I sure would like to. I thought, this is too easy. Led him to the Lord, and he was left so happy. I'm here to tell you, that's what God is looking for, a people. That when they get into your presence and you start talking to them, that the Holy Spirit of God just grabs them. That's what I'm praying, that it doesn't happen just once in a while. I want it to happen every day. I like to witness at the cash register at Walmart, because there's always, they're standing out in line waiting for somebody when you get there. I'll take care of you. And by the time I get there, there's carts out into the aisles. And when I get up there, I have 10 people or more sometimes, and I have a loud voice. And I ask the cashier, are you a follower of Jesus? And, of course, you can tell by the way they answer whether they really are, whether they really are not, or whether they just think they are. You can tell. And if they don't answer real quickly, I say, do you have Jesus in your heart? And then they think a little bit. I say, you don't want to go to the other place, do you? I never had to tell anybody to this day what the other place is. Amen. I'm here to tell you, one told me, I want to go to hell. I said, you want to go to hell? You don't know what you're saying. He said, yeah, I want to shovel coal for my old buddies. And I didn't get very far, but I also remember that I have been told that when you witness, it takes on the average 7 witnesses to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, you just be one of the 7. And when I tell you to shut up, shut up. I had a lady up here in Newport. We ministered in the church there, and on Monday morning I went to the grocery store to get a couple things that I had in my hands. And a lady walks up in front of me with a big shopping cart, stacked up. And she looked like she lived in some kind of a mansion, and this cashier was just having a great time with her. And my thoughts were, I wish she would get down to business. I'd like to go and take this food out to my family and eat breakfast. You know, this thing still works up here, folks. Yeah, it does. And so after a while, they decided to take care of it, and the lady left, and I walked up and put these 3 things I think I had in my hand. I laid them down, and she looks at me. I don't know why, but I've been so sick all morning. And this said, it didn't look like it a minute ago. But this said something different. You know, she said, I said, well, I know who can make you well. She said, who? I said, Jesus. She said, don't talk to me like that. I'm an atheist. And out of my heart comes, you're not an atheist. And I thought, what did I say? She said, well, I think I am, and I, out of my mouth comes, matter of fact, you don't even think so. I'm going to tell you what you think. I said, what did I say? And then Jesus didn't let me down. He said, the problem is you've been trying to make you think, self-think, you're an atheist to cover up the conviction in your heart. She said, maybe you're right. I said, I'm right, and you know it. And God said, zip it up. I said, but God, look where she's at. God said, I said, one plants, another one waters, and I bring the increase. See, we're more concerned about the increase than we are about the planting and the watering. And we're the ones that do the planting and the watering, and God brings the increase. I hope that somebody in this house has been challenged to do things completely different than what we've been doing it in the past. This guy has been challenged. And I trust that the Holy Spirit of God, you have the scriptures, go over them, read them, what the Bible says, not what Brother High says. The works that I do shall you do also in greater. That's not in there, but it's just scriptures that say, hey, that you're filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. All the power, everything that Jesus ever did, you are able to do because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, quickens your mortal body, and you can do everything that Jesus ever did. Amen. Except die on the cross for the soul of man. Everything else he did, you are responsible to do. And I made eye contact with almost, I think, everybody in this house. And I know that the Holy Spirit of God, hallelujah, is penetrating your heart. God bless you. It's been a pleasure. Hallelujah. Thank you.